In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us.
I have a question for you today. Do you want to be like the people around you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because the devil fools you in popularity contests.
Yeah, that's very true. So as you said, sometimes you want to be, or I should ask you, is it good? Is it good to be always like the people around you?
Depends. If it's like your parents, probably.
Sometimes, you know, even the parents are not perfect, you know, but hopefully we have good examples in our parents. But you are right. We should not always try to be like the people around us. And many times, we are called to come out of the group of people that we are surrounded by because we don't want, God doesn't want us to be like them. And this is what St. Paul tells the Corinthians in today's epistle reading. The Corinthian church was a very troubled church. The whole city of Corinth was kind of a sinful city. And the Christian church that Paul started in Corinth was okay for a while, but then they wanted more and more to become like the rest of the city. And Paul was very displeased about that. And he wrote to them and he said, you know, that's not the Christian way. Don't be like the rest of the people around you just because you want to fit in. You are something else. You are called to be Christians. You are called to be like Christ. So come out. And then quoting from the book of Isaiah, Paul tells them, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And then, in today's Gospel reading, we see a beautiful example of two persons who came out. Who came out of their comfort zone, who came out of their region, and they met, and a miracle happened. Who do you think was the first one that came out of his region?
The Lord.
Because what he did in today's gospel, we are told by St. Matthew in his gospel, that the Lord took his disciples from Galilee to the region of Tyre and Sidon. They had to walk for quite a while to get to this area of Tyre and Sidon, somewhere here in Phoenicia. And here, they met a Canaanite woman who herself came out. Now, it's very interesting that the same word, the same Greek word, exerhome, was used by Paul when he told the Corinthians to come out, and it's used by Matthew when he tells that the Lord came out. It is said, you know, that Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came, the same word, came out from that region. So the Lord took the disciples and came out of Galilee, and that woman came out of her nation to meet the Lord. Now the Lord took the disciples out of Galilee because the disciples had to change their mind about something. The disciples, being Jews, now this is a little bit of a Bible study. If you remember, back in October, I asked you if you would be interested in a Bible study. What we are doing now, it's a little bit of a Bible study. So, the Lord took the disciples who were Jews out of Galilee, because that, the disciples being Jews, they believed that they were better than the Canaanites. And that Canaanite woman was not believing in the God of the Jews. That Canaanite woman was not believing in the God of the Bible. Most likely, being a Canaanite, she believed in some idols. But she came out. She came out of her nation. She came out of what the people around her believed. And she believed in the Lord. And she believed that Jesus, our Lord, could heal her daughter. That's why the Lord put her to the test. Do you have any idea why the Lord put her to the test? What did I tell you about? To make sure that she really believed. But you know, Jesus being God, He's God and He knows everything. Don't you think that He knew her faith?
Yeah.
He knew her faith. And that's why He put her to the test, because who needed to see a great example of faith so that they could change their mind about Canaanites? The disciples. Because the disciples believed, you know, this is a Canaanite woman. She doesn't believe in our God. She's inferior. And Jesus took them out of Galilee, took them out of their nation to see a woman of another nation who had a lot of faith. So they came out, the woman came out, and the miracle happened. We are called many times to come out of our comfort zone. Because, you know, maybe when you are, let's say, at a party, and you're having a good time, and all of a sudden, you see somebody, one of your friends, you know, doing something that's not right. And then all of a sudden, most of the people at that party do something that's not right. Could you give me an example of something that could happen at the party that's not right?
Let's say there's like kids, and let's say this is a kid's party, like a
yes,
high school party.
It's a kid's party.
Let's say the parents bought the alcohol.
Yeah.
And what if one kid starts drinking and it's a chain reaction and everyone drinks?
So what do you do if you see that, you know, the kids around you start drinking alcohol at a party? What do you do?
You tell them that's not right.
You tell them that's not right. Don't do that. Stop doing that. If they don't listen to you, what do?
You call the cops. Before you call the cops,
What I would suggest you to do is to call your parents.
Oh, and then that doesn't work then.
Yes, if that doesn't work, then call the cops. But first of all, call your parents and tell your parents, you know, mom and dad, please come and take me out of here because I don't like what's going on around me. I have to get out of here. First of all, you have to make sure that you are safe. I took a safety course, you know, for helping people, you know, who are in an accident, or, and the first thing you have to do is to make sure that the area is safe for yourself. Okay? If somebody was in a car accident, and that person is in the car, and you want, obviously, you know, the person is struggling in the car, and you want to make sure, I mean, you want to get the person out of the car. What do you check for first?
You say.
They're not drunk, or like something's wrong. There's no cars.
First of all, you know, you try to make sure that there is no other car coming that might hit you when you try to help this person. Make sure that the car is not on fire. Okay, make sure, you know, that there is no chance, you know, for an explosion. So don't get yourself into a situation that could kill also you. Okay?
Yeah.
So first of all, the first thing you have to do is to get yourself out of the dangerous situation. And then you ask for help, like, you know, going back, you know, to the party situation. First of all, get yourself out of the dangerous situation. Come out. Separate yourself. And then get some help and try to help the situation. Try to help your friends if it is possible.
I was not kidding. I was just saying that there's...
I know. And I was not kidding too. These are real life situations. And I'm not preaching here to you just because I have nothing else better to do. I'm preaching to you because I want you to grow into strong persons that know what have to do in life, especially in difficult situations.
Yeah.
Okay? So sometimes we have to separate ourselves.
I have another example. Mm-hmm. Let's say you're at your friend's house and, there's other people at your friend's house. And, one of them says... Hey, come on, let's go sneak and drink some beer. You say, no, that's not good, because you might get drunk if you drink too much. And they're like, well, we want to, but you say, no, that's not right. And if they keep on that listening, you tell their parents, because it might actually affect their brain.
And is that easy? Is it easy to do that? Is it easy to say no to your best friend when your best friend asks you to do something bad? Is it easy to say no to your best friend?
No, it's really hard.
Do you realize that that might cost you a good friendship?
It might cost them if they do it, a problem or something.
But do you realize that you might lose a friend?
Yeah.
If you say no to them when they ask you to do something bad? What do you still choose?
Lose the friend.
You know, St. Paul says that bad friendships ruin good habits. Bad friendships could ruin good habits, could ruin you. Sometimes, you know, sometimes we have to say no to somebody who we thought was a good friend of ours, even if that might cost us that friendship. There are seven more billion people out there who could become our friends. You know, that's why the Lord said that it is better to enter the kingdom of heaven without an arm or a leg than to go to Hades, to hell. That means, you know, that sometimes, you know, you have to cut off an unhealthy relationship. You have to cut off a friendship in order to stay healthy. And hopefully the friend will listen to you and will come back into the friendship. That will be the best situation. It's enough for today because I also have to preach to them, okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Father.
God bless you. One day, the bell rang at somebody's house. The man of the house went to the door, and in front of the door there was a man who told the man of the house, the owner of the house, you know, I noticed that there are two loose shingles on your house, and I'm working for an insurance company that works with a roofing company, and we have a really good deal for you. If you work with us, we could get a free roof for your house because of those two loose shingles. Now, fortunately, the owner of the house was a Christian. And he said, no, thank you very much, I'm going to fix those two shingles. Are you sure you could get a brand new free roof for your whole house? Thank you very much. I don't want to do that. Why? Why don't you want to do that? Because if I do that, everybody's insurance next year is gonna go up a little bit. And if 100,000 people do the same thing in 1 year, everybody's insurance is gonna go up a lot. But you know, you could gain a lot. Don't worry about the rest of the world. Thank you very much. I don't want to be part of this. I don't understand you, but anyway, it's your choice. And the insurance agent left. Without understanding how this Christian man could refuse such a wonderful opportunity to have a brand new roof on his house. As St. Anthony the Great used to say, towards the end times, if there is one wise man left in the world, the people around him are going to tell him, you are insane because you are not like us. Beloved faithful, we are called to be something else. We are called to be separate from the world because we are called to be the light of the world. And the world around us comes with any kind of good deals to give to us to make some gain. And then what? That's not what Christians do. The world operates on different principles than the church. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to give us a different way of living. That's why God told us, my wisdom is not your wisdom. My way is not your way. And human wisdom is foolishness with God, St. Paul says in the first letter to Corinthians, to the same Corinthians who wanted to be like the rest of the world. We are called to be the light of the world, not like the rest of the world. The world operates on different terms. The world wants to do only barely what's legal. If it is legal, you can do it. If it's not legal, you better don't do it because you might end up in jail. Christians don't operate in these terms of legal or illegal. Christians operate on terms of loving or unloving. Legal, it's here. Loving, it's here. It's a different way of thinking, a different way of operating. In the world, people want to take advantage of each other to make profit. You know, there is a Romanian saying which says, you know, that we steal each other's took. I take your took, you take my took, you know, and that's how the world goes. We steal from each other, trying to make a gain. The church doesn't work like that. In the church, we are called not to take advantage of each other, but to look after each other, not to take advantage of each other's weaknesses and to make a profit on each other's weaknesses. We are called to heal each other, to look after each other, to help each other get healthier and healthier and more like God. It's not easy to be a real Christian in this world. I know. But we are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. The Lord told his disciples before his crucifixion, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Because we are not of the world, especially when we try to live as real Christians, the world will hate us. That's why, by the way, St. Anthony the Great had to become separate. Because He became the father of monasticism. In his time, in the 300s, the church received freedom. Constantine the Great, very well intended, gave freedom to the church. And guess what? Lots of people flocked into the church because now the emperor was Christian. St. Anthony the Great looked around and he said, this is not really the church that I want to belong to. So he separated himself. He went into the desert and he became a monk. He just wanted to be a Christian, a better Christian, and to be separated from even the church that became not, that was not the church that used to be during the persecution. And people didn't love him for doing that. And people didn't love Maximus the Confessor or any real Christian who really tried to live a Christian life. And people, you know, persecuted them and badmouthed them and made their life miserable. The world will hate you if you try to live a real Christian life. But we are called to be like Christ and to make a difference. James says, the Apostle James says in his letter, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Either or, friend of the world or friend of God. We cannot be a friend of God, and then we cannot be a friend of the world and a friend of God. If we become a friend of the world, we are an enemy of God. Therefore, beloved faithful, as St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.